Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, it has been a while, quite a few days, since I did a verse-by-verse Bible study. We've been traveling a lot. We had some things we had to get done. Trying to get back into teachings and doing some verse-by-verses. Hope you're doing well today. Want to bring you Matthew 23. We're in Matthew 23. You can go and you can catch up at our verse-by-verse tab at DontParish.com. But we're in Matthew 23. We're going to start at verse 13 and we're going to go to verse 22. Let's get right at it. Matthew 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. All right, so Jesus, more kind words here, right? No, not exactly. He's calling out the Pharisees for what they are, right? Luke 12:1, the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is somebody who says one thing and does another, or doesn't do what they say. Yeah, we know God hates hypocrisy. Jesus is showing that here. And he says this interesting thing, they shut up heaven and neither enter in themselves. Yeah, this is the plight of men who refuse to cling to God's word, God's doctrine, God's ways, and do their own ways. They make up their own standards, they make up their own gospel, they make up their own rules, and they're far from the truth of God. Jesus calls them hypocrites. As we just said, they say one thing and they don't do it. This is how they make, we'll get to that, make worse converts than themselves. We know that the Pharisees, from our previous study in Matthew, they had a way of adding to God's word. We also see that in Mark 7. And making it hard for people to enter in. Man-made traditions are hated by God. Man-made traditions are sin against the holy God. Man-made traditions cause our worship to be in vain. And it's clear to see in Scripture that God hates man-made traditions. Psalm 119:104 says, God hates every false way. You know what? We should be hating every false way as well. So shutting up heaven, it's really the opposite of what Christ came to do, right? Jesus came to open up and show us the way, open it up and show us the way. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has set me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set them that are bruised. So Jesus comes to open the way for us. The Pharisees made it harder for men with their false man-made traditions. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Once again, he calls them hypocrites. For you devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Okay, devour widows' houses. What does this mean? Well, this has to do with taking the money of these older women, widow women, deceiving them in their false ways. Pharisees were masters at making their own false ways. Deuteronomy 26:12 talks about how the leaders are supposed to take care of widows and orphans, not take money from them. Right? I'm out in a parking lot. If you hear a bunch of music cranking, some guy driving by on a motorcycle, hopefully doesn't bother too much. So according to Deuteronomy 26, they should be taking care of the widows and orphans. Here they're taking and destroying and devouring the widows' houses. And then he says, and remember, God is always, always concerned about justice and taking care of the weak and taking care of those that need help. The Pharisees were taking advantage, not taking care. Another reason why they're hypocrites and enemies per Jesus Christ. And then it says, for pretense you make long prayer, therefore you shall receive greater damnation. So, long prayer. So what this basically means is, you know, remember when Jesus said they wear longer tassels, longer robes, all for pretense, all for show, all for pride, all to lift themselves up? Well, that's what they're doing with prayers here. God knows your heart. He knows everything, your thoughts, your intent. You can't just make up prayers and make them long to make yourself look good in front of people. It's what the Pharisees were doing. Jesus knows this and calls them out on it. When you pray to God, you should be praying from your heart, from your mind to God, and say as much or as little as on your heart or on your mind. You don't make stuff up. You don't make long prayers. Jesus said don't do repetitious prayers. All of these things are sin before a holy God. So we got to make sure that we're not taking part in all of that. And then Jesus says they get the greater damnation. Now, this is interesting. We can't know how this is going to work. I mean, let's think about this. If you're judged to hell, and everyone's going to hell, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, how can it be much worse for one than the other? We don't know exactly. But that word is krima. It means judgment. That word damnation means judgment. So what we do know is that on that day there will be greater judgment upon these false teachers that deceive people, take advantage of people. Greater judgment. What a terrifying thing. Kind of like you go to a court and one person does a crime and he's going to go to jail, and the other person does a much more severe crime and the judge really nails him with a major sentence. Again, I don't know how much worse hell can be, but Jesus says greater damnation. Terrifying verse indeed. Let's take note of that. Verse 15, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Yeah, he says hypocrites 8 or 9 times in this chapter. Kind, loving words of Jesus, right? The people that tell you, you're supposed to be always be kind and loving. No, that's not true. When it comes to false teachers and rebukes and false doctrine, no, we're not always kind and loving. We're direct and we speak the truth. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. All right. So, again, Jesus using scorching words here, cutting them, calling them children of the devil. He also said that in John 8:44, he said, your father is the devil. I just thought I'd throw that in there. The words of Jesus, right? Truth cuts. It's not always soft and gentle and what humans call kind. It's kind to tell someone the truth so these Pharisees could repent. So that word proselyte, it means a newcomer, a newbie, right? So it's a new person to the faith. And what Jesus is accusing them of, going out, finding new believers, and then turning them into worse, unbiblical, anti-God type, against doctrine, sound doctrine men, that's going on today. Why do I say that? You got modern pastors, worldly and carnal, false gospels. You got church groups and conferences, worldly, carnal, false gospels. And they strive hard to round up new people, better programs, bigger buildings, better music, coffee, donuts. And then what happens to those people that go and unite to them? Their corrupt ways, they end up to be even more corrupt sinners than those people in many, many cases. That's what's going on then, and it goes on today. Paul said, bad company corrupts. You hang out with bad people, you might end up doing bad things. You hang out with godly people, they may influence you to do and be more godly. Just makes sense. These Pharisees were good at being bad company and making twice the children of the devil. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. All right, so the Pharisees are making up their own little system about making up oaths, and it's based on things, right? Because they weren't allowed to, like, swear to God. They weren't even allowed, in some cases, to use the name of God. So they were swearing oaths to things. Well, Jesus already dealt with this for us. Matthew 5:33-37, he said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. What this means is, it's not what you swear by and what you swear upon, it's your word. Are you keeping your word? That's what it comes down to. That's the most important part. And it seems like the Pharisees were teaching people to swear by things, not right directly to God. And this allowed them, what can we surmise? They're making their own ways. Maybe they don't have to keep their word as staunch. Maybe it's making their life easier. It's just more man-made rules that they can apply and put on people to fit their little system and their narrative. And Jesus is calling them out on it right here. Verse 17, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctify the gold? Yeah, so he calls them blind again. He just did it in the other verse as well. Blind guides. We'll get to what Jesus thinks of these men. So he's teaching them, they're teaching people a wrong way, and Christ is exposing their foolishness by asking, what's the priorities of these oaths and rules they're making? I mean, the Pharisees are telling men they can swear by this and not swear by that, and they're making up their own rules. I guess this gave them control, it gave them authority over people, it gave them more man-made ways to teach. They thought they were removing one part of God's word, or I should say, obeying one part of God's word by not swearing unto God, but then they're attaching it to all of these things. So they're telling the men swear by the gold but not the temple, somehow made it different. I think it gives the Pharisees control over them, teaching more man-made traditions, as I said. It's another way to twist God's word and ways to their own ways. They were masters at it. Whatever suits them. Also, I mentioned he said the word blind. Jesus often talked about the blind guides. Luke 6:39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? Yeah, think about that. You got a blind guy. I see blind people walking around. It's amazing to me. They're blind and they have a little stick and they can feel the curb. Somehow they can know traffic's coming or not. Incredible. Can you imagine if you were blind and you're going to lead the blind around? How's that going to go? It's not going to go very well. So Jesus calls the Pharisees blind. Remember, you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth for it to affect you, so that you can be guided by it and so that you could help and guide others. You got to be a disciple first to make a disciple. Make sense? Verse 18, and whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he's guilty. Ye fools and blind, once again, blind. For whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctify the gift? Whosoever shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. So Christ is like reframing the priorities of all these items that they're dealing with here so that they can see the foolishness of what the Pharisees are doing, setting up more man-made ways that the Father didn't ordain. That's what they were all about, setting up their own system, like modern religion today. You know, Sister Debbie just witnessed to a lady today that was a Lutheran, and she was telling this lady that Luther was a heretic, a murderer, had many false ways. And this lady said, well, we believe, we think, we feel. Basically setting up their own man-made system. It's still being done today, folks. The Pharisees were doing it right in front of Jesus. Today, we see modern pastors doing it all over in the church systems, all over. The Pharisees are doing their own ways in pride and vanity and hypocrisy. And what matters most, as I said, is keeping our word. Jesus said, Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Words matter, folks. This is the whole point of this. Not by what all these things the Pharisees are setting up, but the words themselves. Verse 21. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. So that's our last verse for today. The end of this whole discourse, Jesus is just refocusing us on the issue that is at hand. Again, it's not by what all these Pharisees are doing, swear by this, swear by that, not by this, by that. But the focus should be, you're making a vow, we're to keep our words. Jesus said, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. That's the issue here. Don't lose sight of that. Our heart for God and the truth. Our heart for keeping our words, not attaching things to our words and making a bunch of false traditions out of it. as the Pharisees did so often. And what this proves is, you know, Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit, right? And these Pharisees showed their dead hearts, their wrong motives, their hypocrisy, and their false traditions, driving all their false ways, teaching it to others, making them twice the child of Satan they are. Again, it's a mirror image of what's going on today in churchianity. I see it every day out here. Everyone's doing something for God that goes to churchianity, but it's not aligned with God's word and God's ways and Christ's words and Christ's ways. It's kind of aligned to how we want to do it. We like it. It's easier. Makes us feel better. Brings in more money. Brings in more people. Makes us more popular. Makes us liked by the culture rather than hated. Yeah, and what this is all about is God's ways and God's word and our word. Keeping our word, and be careful when you say something. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Don't get caught up in swearing by this or saying by that as the Pharisees did. Get caught up in watch your words, use your words correctly, live by the word of God, Matthew 4:4, every word out of the mouth of God, and then keep your words. Amen? That's what this is all about. So we're going to end it right there. We'll pick up again in Matthew 23 on verse 22. I hope you're having a great day. We have one more long journey to go tomorrow, and then we'll be in an area for a while, and we've got a big preaching event coming up that we're getting ready for. God's been so gracious, so good to us. We owe a debt we could never pay because of what Christ has done. But you know what? We're going to strive with all that we can to be zealous for good works for His glory, because He is worthy. I hope you feel that way. Check out the gospeldon'tperish.com. Check out all the resources. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, we love you all in the Lord. We're traveling, preaching Christ crucified, witnessing every day. Let the truth go out. Let that truth transform and sanctify your life because of what Christ has done. May God be praised.